You are listening to WXOJ LP
in Northampton, Massachusetts.
Tonight I want to take a few minutes to discuss a great threat to peace.
To protect the haves from the have-nots.
The threat comes from America's determination to lead the world, its history of aggression, and its drive toward an arsenal of terror.
To maintain the security of those who accumulate wealth from the labor of others.
El imperialismo norteamericano.
To protect wealth from the poverty that wealth creates.
Freedom is the universal gift of Almighty God.
The God-given promise that all are equal, all are free.
How do you think he'll react to you when you learn what a real revolution is?
I do not believe that a few people should control the wealth of any land, that it should be a collective ownership.
Fellow citizens, your enemy is ruling your country, and war is what they got.
Today, this is as good as it's going to get in Iraq.
Human rights are subordinated to the overwhelming, overriding need of profit.
We believe that as a people living in the United States, it is our responsibility to resist the injustices done by our government in our name.
We must be prepared to match actions with words by seeking out every creative method of protest possible.
Gotta take the power back.
You're listening to Seeing Red Radio, the radio show with a revolutionary socialist perspective. I'm your host, Anthony Udell. Welcome. On this week's edition of Seeing Red, this April 9th edition, we're going to look back on this particular day in revolutionary history. Today would have been the 111th birthday of the great actor, singer, athlete, and political activist Paul Robeson. We'll spend a part of our hour looking at his life of song and resistance. We'll also remember the sad anniversary of the death of the folk singer and political activist Phil Oakes. Right here on Seeing Red Radio, we come to you every Thursday from 8 to 9. Check out the website at seeingredradio.org.
Gonna make the world safe for democracy, aren't you?
What is democracy?
When I give you the kind of government, it's got something to do with young men killing each other, I believe.
What has been created by this half century of massive corporate propaganda is what's called anti-politics.
Our political leaders like to pretend that there are no classes in this country, that all of us have the same interest, Exxon and me, George Bush and you, but we've always had class struggle.
The development of modern industry cuts from under its feet the very foundation on which the bourgeoisie produces and appropriates products. What the bourgeoisie, therefore, produces above all are its own grave diggers. Its fall and the victory of the proletariat are equally inevitable.
I resent the question.
I beg
will
your
you,
pardon.
Will you rephrase it, please? Yes.
What are your political opinions? Have they been changed at
My
all?
My political opinions have only been deepened.
Proud of my or any other Negro actor appearing in such a part
on the ground, and the man's
steps on my fingers and takes my nails off of my hand, and they're bleeding. And I become absolutely out of my mind. Sumashetsi. And a man comes by, and I'm about to tackle him, and I take him, and I'm gonna, as far as I'm concerned, I'm gonna kill him. So I won't be safe, except for the rights of my people for the next couple of years. No pretty songs, John. No pretty songs. Time for some full citizenship. Understandable?
Paul Robeson once said to me, he said, Harry, get them to sing your song. Meaning the world, people. Get them to sing your song, and they will want to know who you are, 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 who you are.
I come and I go, and that's my business.
Farragut, don't you all know that I've got a charm? Takes a silver bullet to kill Brutus Jones.
He was a world-famous singer. He was an intellectual, labor organizer, and civil rights pioneer.
Championing the cause of socialism, which Robeson had accepted the fact that maybe scientific socialism was in fact the way to go, the way to relieve the oppressed peoples, not only African American, but the oppressed peoples throughout the world, that socialism was the way to go. And the United States and the powers that be in the United States were not ready.
I am today giving up my concerts for 2 or 3 years to enter into this struggle at a very, it's what I call getting into the rank and file struggle of my people for full citizenship in these United States. So I won't be singing, except for the rights of my people for the next couple of years. No pretty songs, gentlemen. No pretty songs. Time for some full citizenship. Understandable? The attempt of the enemy was to cut off the progressive people from the great masses of the Americans. In my own case, it was to cut me off from the Negro people from whom I'm born. Imagine, somewhere somebody says, I, born a Negro, that because of my beliefs, my fight for peace, my fight for friendship between nations, my fight for the complete liberation of my people, that somewhere I'm not an American and that I should be cut off from the very people from whom I was born.
The Communist Party of the United States is a fifth column, if there ever was one. It is a way of life, an evil and malignant way of life. There is no doubt as to where a real communist loyalty rests. Their allegiance is to Russia, not the United States.
I have as much right to be a member of the Communist Party as I have to be of the Republican or the Democratic Party. But in protecting the civil rights of all Americans, it's none of your business.
It's amazing that we're marking the 110th anniversary of the birth of Paul Robeson, born April 9th, 1898. For many years in my youth, I regarded him as my hero and one of the greatest men who's ever lived. Notice I said greatest men, not greatest black men. That's because of his extraordinary life, his wealth of talents and abilities, his soaring intellect, but above all, his magnificent heart, which beat for all the oppressed of the world. It was maybe in 1973 when I read the book Here I Stand, his explosive autobiography, which hit me like a ton of bricks. Above all of his extraordinary life, what struck me the most was his reply to a congressman who threatened to hold him in contempt because of his refusal to admit his membership in the Communist Party. Robeson testified before the House Un-American Activities Committee on June 12, 1956. When I read his words, nearly 20 years later, a chill went through me like a bolt of lightning. He told the committee, "My father was a slave, and my people died to build this country, and I'm going to stay here and have a part of it just like you. And no fascist-minded people would drive me from it." If this were the movies, it would have required a clap of thunder to mark this dramatic moment. As an artist acting and singing on stages the world over, Robeson's genius could hardly be denied. But as ever, there was something greater than his immense talent. Again, I think it was his heart, from which poured a deep feeling of commitment to those who didn't have his life options. It is especially meaningful when we consider that when he spoke these words, he was surely among one of the wealthiest black men in America in 1941. It means so little when a man like me wins some success. Where's the benefit when a small class of Negroes makes money and can live well? It may be encouraging, but it has no deeper significance. I feel this way because I have cousins who can neither read nor write. I have had a chance. They have not. That is the difference. What would a man such as this think of the bling bling that has become the core of black fashion? What would he think of such conspicuous consumption when so many are doing so poorly in this, the richest nation on earth? Paul was far more than an accomplished scholar, a lawyer, an actor, singer, and orator. He was a human being of the first order, who rightly deserved the sobriquet, the tallest tree in our forest. His words have a relevance that continues to inspire us decades after his utterance. Of his art, he described it thus: "It is a weapon in the struggle for my people's freedom and for the freedom of all people." The Bay Area Paul Robeson Centennial Committee is to be commended for remembering this great black world leader. How much such art as he produced is needed now. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Paul Leroy Bustill Robinson was an Afro-American actor of film and stage, a professional athlete, a writer, a lawyer, a basso profundo concert singer who was also noted for his wide-ranging social justice activism. A forerunner of the civil rights movement, Robeson was a trade unions activist, peace activist, Phi Beta Kappa Society laureate, and a recipient of the Stalin Peace Prize. Robeson achieved worldwide fame and recognition during his life for his artistic accomplishments and his outspoken, radical beliefs, which largely clashed with the colonial powers of Western Europe and the Jim Crow climate of pre-civil rights America. Paul Robeson was the first major concert star to popularize the performance of Negro spirituals and was the first black actor of the 20th century to portray William Shakespeare's Othello. His 1943-44 Broadway run of Othello still holds the record for the longest-running Shakespeare play. Despite Robeson's vocal dissatisfaction with movie stereotypes, his roles in both the American and British film industry were some of the first parts ever created that displayed dignity and respect for the African-American film actor, paving the way for Sidney Poitier and Harry Belafonte. At the height of his fame, Paul Robeson decided to become a primarily political activist, speaking out against fascism and racism in the United States and abroad, as white America failed post-World War II to stand for the rights of people of color. Robeson thus became a prime target of the Red Scare during the late 1940s through to the late 1950s. His passport was revoked from 1950 to 1958 under the McCarran Act, and he was under surveillance by the United States Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Central Intelligence Agency, and by British MI5 for well over three decades until his death in 1976. The reasoning behind his persecution centered not only on his beliefs in socialism and friendship with the peoples of the Soviet Union, but also his tireless work towards the liberation of the colonial peoples of Africa, the Caribbean, and Asia. His support of the international brigades, his ardent efforts to push for anti-lynching legislation, and the integration of Major League Baseball, among many other causes that challenged worldwide white supremacy. Condemnation of Robeson and his beliefs came swiftly from both the white establishment of the United States, including the United States Congress, and many mainstream black organizations, including the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. This mass vilification by the American establishment blacklisted and isolated Robeson for the latter part of his career. Despite the fact that Paul Robeson was one of the most internationally famous cultural figures of his era, the persecution virtually erased him from mainstream culture and subsequent interpretations of 20th century history, including civil rights and black history. To this day, Paul Robeson's FBI file is one of the largest of any entertainer ever investigated by the United States intelligence community, requiring its own internal index and unique status of health file. There is also documented evidence from the files released under the Freedom of Information Act that Paul Robeson was drugged and neutralized under the CIA's clandestine McUltra mind control program, and subsequently subjected to unnecessary and abusive levels of electroconvulsive therapy while under private care in Great Britain as a means to keep him from influencing the U.S. civil rights movement and the worldwide anti-imperialist movements during the 1960s. Despite persecution and limited activity resulting from ailing health in his later years, Paul Robeson remained throughout his life committed to world peace and anti-fascism and was unapologetic about his political views. Present-day advocates and historians of Paul Robeson's legacy worked successfully to restore his name to history books and sports records while honoring his memory globally with celebrations, festivals, and posthumous awards and recognitions. You're listening to Seeing Red Radio. We're remembering the 111th birthday of the great Paul Robeson. On this day, April 9th.
When Israel was in Egypt's land, let my people go. Oppressed so hard they could not stand, let my people go. Go down, Moses, way down. Said, let my people go. If not, I'll smite your firstborn dead. Let my people go. Go down, Moses, way down.
The reaction to Robeson's speaking out politically in Europe was to erupt in Peekskill, New York. He had scheduled on his return a fourth annual concert for the Civil Rights Congress in Peekskill. However, those who wanted his outspoken voice stilled threatened violence if Robeson sang. Protesters paraded. Despite the threats, on September 4th, 1949, Robeson came to sing. Spectators jeered on the sidelines at the people who came to listen.
Hey, go back to Russia, niggas!
Go back to Russia!
Take a group of young boys here yelling at the people, stopped in their cars. There are hundreds and hundreds of people here, and if there's a serious outbreak, it will be very bad.
Because the concert was ringed with a threat of violence, hundreds of concertgoers volunteered and stood a circle of guard around the audience and around Robeson himself. When the concert was over, the police did little or nothing to avoid a confrontation. The The concertgoers were attacked as they left, and a riot developed. 140 people were injured.
Skirmishes are breaking out all over here. The police are fighting the cops. Oh, this is terrible. And they are beating up a Negro. They're clubbing him. He's right here.
After Peekskill, other cities became fearful. Concerts were canceled. Robeson records were withdrawn from stores. Robeson continued to speak out, and condemnation of the man and his beliefs continued. Unbelievably, even his selection years before as All-American end for Rutgers was wiped from the record. The 1917-1918 College Football Hall of Fame listed the only 10-man All-American team in history. The 11th man, Paul Robeson, was eliminated, erased from the record books.
This is Pete Seeger. I was there, too. There were 900 police, deputies, and state troopers at Peekskill. They allowed the mob to form along a 4-mile line of road and directed all traffic down this only exit and then stood by watching while the hoodlums threw rocks through the windows of cars and buses. Heads were bashed in, eyes were cut by flying glass. Cars were overturned and the people in them dragged out and beaten. And the police stood by and laughed. Hoodlum gangs went on a night-long reign of terror all through Westchester County, clear down to 210th Street and Broadway. Then the police moved. They moved into the picnic grounds to beat up the trade union guards.
In 1949, September, there was a huge crowd with all this publicity, like 10 or 20,000 people.
Wow.
I decided I'd take the whole family there, and I was going to sing just two or three songs at the beginning of the program before Paul Robeson started.
Thousands of angry locals surround the concert, protesting Robeson, Seeger, and the other performers.
And at the end of the concert, it was a very slow getting out, but there was only one narrow dirt road leading out of the field, so there were seven of us in the car. We hadn't gone more than a few feet, I see glass in the road. And I say to the family, uh-oh, because around the corner was a pile of stones, each about as big as a tennis ball or a baseball, and a young man heaving them with all his force at every single car that came by. So there was crash, and then around the next corner was another pile of stones, and another crash. We had three windows on each side and a divided windshield, eight, and they were all broken not once but several times. So I think there must have been between 15 and 20 piles of stones. They must have been covered up with canvas or something, so we didn't notice them when we drove in.
Right.
There was a policeman standing about 50 feet from somebody throwing stones. And I stopped the car and tried to roll the window down, but it was so splintered I'd only got it about an inch down. I shouted, "Officer, aren't you going to do something?" And he just shouted, "Move on, move on."
A riot ensued when concert doors were assaulted as they tried to leave. 140 people were injured.
Now the interesting thing, and this is the important part of the story, signs went up in Peekskill saying, "Wake up America," bumper sticker sign, about 5 inches high and, and 2 feet wide. "Wake up America," Peekskill did. About 5 weeks later, they all came down. They were on bumpers, they were in windows, in stores, in gas stations.
What do you mean they all came down?
The signs disappeared. There must have been thousands of them in Peekskill.
Like taken off?
They were taken off. They were taken off the bumpers of cars. They were, and why? It seems that in Europe, they were horrified. They said those are the same signs that went up in Germany after Kristallnacht, when Hitler said, "You should throw stones. Wake up, Germany." Munich did. "Throw stones at all the Jewish storekeepers." And they said, "Is America going fascist?" Well, a lot of people thought they were.
Pete Seeger on Seeing Red Radio, remembering the incidents on August 27th of 1949, the Peekskill concert. Previously, three concerts have been performed by Paul Robeson in Peekskill without an incident. But in the recent years, Paul Robeson had been increasingly vocal against the Ku Klux Klan and other forces of white supremacy, both domestically and internationally. Robeson specifically made a transformation from someone who was primarily a singer into a political persona. Robeson had also appeared before the House Committee on Un-American Activities to oppose a bill that would require communists to register as foreign agents. And just months before the concert in 1949, he had appeared at the World Peace Conference in Paris, stating, quote, "It is unthinkable that American Negroes will go to war in behalf of those who have oppressed us for generations, against a country which in one generation has raised our people to the full dignity of mankind," end quote. In the early stages of the Cold War and the Red Scare and its accompanying wide anti-communist sentiment, such a comment was seen by many as very anti-American. The local paper, the Peekskill Evening Star, condemned the concert and encouraged people to make their position on communism felt, but fell short of espousing violence. There was a racial element to the riots, including burning crosses and in effigy of Robeson, both in Peekskill and in other areas of the United States. You're listening to Seeing Red Radio. We're remembering the 111th birthday on this day, April 9th, but also on this day, we'll remember the sad departure of the folk singer Phil Oakes, and a gentleman that both Paul Robeson and Phil Oakes paid homage to repeatedly was the Swedish folk singer who became a mainstay of the wobbly movement, of course speaking of the industrial workers of the world, and that's the man Joe Hill. So right now, let's listen to Paul Robeson with his rendition of Joe Hill.
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he. In Salt Lake City, Joe, says I, him standing by my bed. They framed you on a murder charge, says Joe, but I'm dead. Says Joe, but I'm dead. The copper bosses killed you, Joe. They shot you, Joe, says I. Takes more than guns to kill a man, says Joe, I didn't die. Says Joe, I didn't die. And standing there as big as life, and smiling with his eyes, says Joe, what they can never kill, went on to organize, went on to organize. From San Diego up to Maine, in every mine and mill, where workers strike and organize, it's there you'll find your hill. It's there you'll find your hill. I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he.
Robeson with I Dreamed I Saw Joe Hill, right here on Seeing Red Radio. Of course, we were looking back on that horrible event on in August of 1949. We should step back a year earlier on April 9th of 1948, and also look back at a particularly horrible and horrific event as well. And I speak of the Dar Yassin massacre, a killing of between 107 and 120 Palestinian unarmed civilian villagers, an estimate generally accepted by scholars, though an incident like many things in the Israeli-Palestine conflict that is fraught with controversy. The village of Dar Yassin near Jerusalem was in the British Mandate of Palestine and was attacked by Jewish Zionist guerrilla fighters in the Irgun Lehi between the 9th of April and the 11th of April in 1948. It occurred while Jewish Yishuv forces fought to break the siege of Jerusalem during the period of civil war that preceded the end of the mandate. Contemporary reports, originating apparently from a command officer in Jerusalem of one of the regular forces involved, namely the Irgun, Mordechai Renanan, gave an initial estimate of 254 killed. The size of the figure had a considerable impact on the conflict in creating panic and became a major cause of the 1948 Palestinian exodus. The massacre was universally condemned at the time, including repudiations from the Haganah Command and the Jewish Agency. That occurred on this day in 1948, 61 years ago. You're listening to Seeing Red Radio. We'll be right back. We're going to be remembering, with the time left, both Phil Oakes, and also this was the day in 1947. It was the first day of the Journey of Reconciliation. So we'll be remembering that as well on this edition of Seeing Red Radio. Please stay tuned.
I dreamed I saw Phil Oakes last night, alive as you and me. Says I to Phil, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he. The music business killed you, Phil. They ignored the things you said and cast you out when fashions changed, says Phil. But I ain't dead, says Phil, but I ain't dead. The FBI harassed you, Phil. They smeared you with their lies, says he, but they could never kill what they could not compromise. I never compromised. Though fashions changed and critics sneered, the songs that I have sung are just as true tonight as then. The struggle carries on, the struggle carries on. When the song of freedom rings out loud from valleys and from hills, where people stand up for their rights, Phil Oakes is with us still. Phil Oakes inspires us.
I know you always generate a lot of energies when you have rallies like this, and it usually just goes towards the stage or towards making you feel good, but I hope that the people here are prepared to direct their energy toward getting rid of Richard Nixon. Because what he's been doing his first 4 years in office, he's been just sowing the seeds of fascism step by step, beefing up the police, ordering different raids, working with the media, and step by step he's been taking over the country with more and more wiretapping and more Supreme Court justices. If he gets back in another 4 years, there's not going to be any America left, even as you know it now. So here's a song. Here's to the state of Richard Nixon. For underneath his borders, the devil draws no line. If you drag his muddy rivers, nameless bodies you will find. And the fat trees of the forest have hid 1,000 crimes. And the calendar is lying when it reads the present time. Oh, here's to the land you've torn out the heart of. Richard Nixon, find yourself another country to be part of. Yes, and here's to the schools of Richard Nixon, where they're present everywhere, and every single classroom is a factory of despair. Oh, there's nobody learning such a foreign word as fair. Oh, here's to the land you've torn out the heart of. Richard Nixon, find yourself another country to be part of. Yes, and here's to the judges of Richard Nixon, who wear the robe of honor as they crawl into the court, and they're guarding all the bastions of their phony legal fort. But justice is a stranger when the prisoners report. When the black man stands accused, the trial is always short. Whoa, here's to the land you've torn out the heart of. Richard Nixon, find yourself another country to be part of. Yes, and here's to the government of Richard Nixon. In the swamp of their bureaucracy, they're always bogging down, and criminals are posing as the mayors of the towns, and they hope that no one sees the sights and no one hears the sounds, and the speeches of the Spiro are the ravings of a clown. Whoa, here's to the land we've torn out the heart of. Richard Nixon, find yourself another country to be part of. To the churches of Richard Nixon, where the cross once made of silver now is caked with rust, and the Sunday morning sermons pander to their lust. Oh, the fallen face of Jesus is choking in the dust, and heaven only knows in which God they can trust. Oh, here's to the land you've torn out the heart of. Richard Nixon, find yourself another country to be part of.
Phil Oakes right here on Seeing Red Radio with his adaptation of his song, The State of Mississippi, that he penned in the height of the civil rights movement. He adapted for good old Richard Milhouse Nixon's sake. Philip David Oakes, born December 19th, 1940, was a U.S. protest singer, or as he preferred, a topical singer, and a songwriter who was known for his sharp wit, sardonic humor, earnest humanism, political activism, insightful and alliterative lyrics, and haunting voice. He wrote hundreds of songs in the 1960s and released 8 albums in his lifetime. Oakes performed at many political events, including anti-Vietnam War and civil rights rallies, student events, and organized labor events over the course of his career. In addition to many concert appearances at such venues in New York City's Town Hall and Carnegie Hall, politically, Oakes described himself as a left social democrat who became an early revolutionary after the protests at the 1968 Democratic National Convention in Chicago, which had a profound effect on his state of mind. After years of prolific writing in the 1960s, Oakes' mental stability declined in the 1970s, and eventually he succumbed to a number of problems, including bipolar disorder and alcoholism, and he took his life on this day, April 9th, 1976, when he hung himself at his sister's home in Far Rockaway, New York. He once said, "It is wrong to expect a reward for your struggles. The reward is the act of struggle itself, not what you win. Even though you can't expect to defeat the absurdity of the world, you must make that attempt. That's morality. That's religion. That's art. That's life." The words of Phil Oakes. You're listening to Seeing Red. We're remembering this day on April 9th. One of the things that we'll also be looking back on is the great journey of reconciliation that the earliest attempts to force the desegregation of interstate busing in the Upper South. Members of the Congress of Racial Equality on this day in 1947 began the journey of reconciliation. This is the great Bayard Rustin, a gentleman who is often forgotten in the history of the civil rights movement. He was a tremendous influence on Martin Luther King. In fact, he's credited as being the gentleman who introduced him to nonviolence. This is the words of Bayard Rustin speaking of the Journey of Reconciliation, which began its trip on this day, April 9th, 1947. You're listening to Seeing Red.
In 1946, something very important occurred that was to have a very profound effect on the whole civil rights movement. In 1946, the Supreme Court of the United States delivered what became known as the Irene Morgan decision. Irene Morgan was a black woman who had an interstate ticket on a bus. And the Supreme Court ruled that she had been incorrectly arrested and punished because if a person was moving between the states on a bus or train, it was a burden on interstate commerce to stop the bus or train and waste time and energy in separating people. You will also remember that 1946 is a crucial period because many blacks who had been in the army were returning home from Europe. There were many incidences in which these black soldiers, having been abroad and exposed to fighting for freedom, were not going to come back to the United States on their way home and desegregated in transportation. And therefore, the combination of these blacks who were already resisting and of Irene Morgan's decision, which gave blacks the right to resist segregation, particularly in interstate travel, we in CORE decided immediately following the Morgan decision that the next year, 1947, we were going to create a nationwide protest with 9 blacks and 9 whites who would go into buses all over the Upper South with the blacks sitting in the front and the whites sitting in the back, and to challenge this. This was known generally as the first Freedom Ride. It was called the Journey of Reconciliation. As a result of the Journey of Reconciliation, a number of blacks and whites were jailed.
Oh, thank you.
And that was my first experience on a chain gang in late 1947, early 1948. I spent 30 days on a chain gang, as well as did a number of whites and other blacks. By CORE's moving through the southern states, getting 5 blacks arrested here, 5 whites arrested there, an interracial couple being arrested here, and willingness to go to jail and write about it, and the fact that the NAACP picked up those experiences and made booklets as to how to adhere to the Irene Morgan decision, and said, we will give you an attorney anywhere you go if you are willing to face arrest to clarify this issue. That period of 8 years of continuously doing this all over the South prepared for the 60s revolution, prepared for the 1954 Supreme Court decision.
Those are the words of Bayard Rustin, remembering the Journey of Reconciliation, which began on this day, April 9th, 1947, and of course became a incredible inspiration in 1961 with the Freedom Riders. So we're going to return, making our connections with Phil Oakes with his great song The Freedom Riders, inspired of course in 1961 by activists who continued the same tactic that Bayard Rustin
and the other members of the Congress of Racial Equality began on April 9th in 1947. This is Phil Oakes on Seeing Red Radio. We'll be right back.
Jackson, Mississippi is a mighty white town. White folks like to keep the black folks down. They think they'll be all right, but there's gonna be a fight, and they'll have to share that freedom crown. Yes, they'll have to share that freedom crown. Freedom riders, roll along. Freedom riders, won't be long. They boarded a bus in Washington, D.C. to enter a state half slave and half free. The wheels hummed a song and they sang along, the song of liberty. Yes, the song of liberty. Freedom riders, roll along. Freedom riders, won't be long. Jimmy Farmer was a hard-fighting man, decided one day that he had to take a stand. Led them down to Slavery Town, and they threw Jim Farmer in the can. Yes, they threw Jim Farmer in the can. Freedom riders, roll along. Freedom riders, won't be long. Well, one of these days, and it won't be long, the solid South is gonna sing another song. They'll understand that a man's not a man till he has all the freedoms of the land. Till he has all the freedoms of the land. Freedom riders, roll along. Freedom riders, won't be long. Sing your song. Oh, I marched to the Battle of New Orleans at the end of the early British wars. The young land started growing, the young blood started flowing, but I ain't a marching anymore. For I've killed my share of engines in 1,000 different fights. I was there at the Little Big Horn. I heard many men lying, I saw many more dying, but I anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the wars, always the young to fall. Now look how we won with a saber and a gun. Tell me, is it worth it all? For I stole California from the Mexican land, fought in the bloody Civil War. Yes, I even killed my brothers and so many others, but I ain't marching anymore. For I marched to the battles of the German trench in a war that was bound to end all wars. Oh, I must have killed a million men and now they want me back again, but I ain't marching anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the wars, always the young to fall. Now look at all we've won with a saber and a gun. Tell me, is it worth it all? For I flew the final mission in the Japanese skies, set off the mighty mushroom roar. When I saw the cities burning, I knew that I was learning that I ain't marching anymore. Now the labor leaders screaming when they close a missile plant. United Fruit screams at the Cuban shore. Call it peace or call it treason, call it love or call it reason, but I ain't marching anymore. I ain't marching anymore.
So, do you believe, as this ageless warrior in your song does, that the soldiers ought to get up and fight the government and not go up and join the army when they're called?
Yes, I don't think anybody should. It's due to the I wrote the song in the '60s at the very beginning of the Vietnamese War, and I think the song's been more than worn out Yes, I do think people should not go into the army now, because I think that the army has been distorted. I mean, I think it's a different army. In so many ways, it's a different army and a different flag and a different idea of a country than what was going on in World War II. I don't think an honorable citizen, young male, should go into this army, because this army is involved in what I consider immoral practices.
You said something which I wanted to find out, because he gave an answer which didn't make, which only answered one part of the question. You asked, would you encourage the soldiers to take up arms against the country itself, against the government?
The violent overthrow of the government. Will you encourage the students, the young people in the country today, not to join the army? And yes. B, would you encourage the army, the men in the army, to desert?
Yes, I would. I think that it's gotten that poisonous that it's one of those rare times where desertion is not dishonorable. Yes.
Do you have?
If there was implication in your question about attacking the government, the soldiers attacking the government, no, I don't think so. I think there's still room for a certain amount of civil disobedience and massing of numbers where it's not necessary.
Well, yeah. What else could it be called? You have to be attacking the government when you defy laws, don't you?
Intellectually, yes, and yes.
Well, intellectually, in any other way.
Yeah. Look,
right.
Well, the difference between that and going to Washington with bayonets.
Look, what you're going to have here, aren't you, is a type of lawlessness that is going to become the same thing. You're advocating in many ways, aren't you? And a type of system where a person would obey a law only if he thought that law was just.
No, I'm not talking about a new system. I'm talking about a reaction to what I consider a government gone mad or gone criminal. And I'm saying that as the way things stand right now with the current policies, I think it's time for a radical change in this government's foreign policy. And one of the ways to force that radical change is for them to realize that they can't even command the respect of the obedience of their own armies.
Right. Can you seriously believe this is the way to do it? For everybody to get up and desert out of our army? What would become of
that? That's not the primary thing I'm asking for mass desertion. I mean, you said, am I in favor of that? I said yes. You know, primarily, it would have been better if they hadn't gone in the first place, so they wouldn't be faced with that other question of desertion. I think they should have, hindsight, they should have had the foresight not to go into the army.
Phil Oakes defending his tune in a rare TV appearance. I ain't marching anymore. You're listening to Seeing Red Radio. We're just about wrapping it up for this week's edition. Of course, we'll be handing it over to the music of Flywheel, so please stay tuned. You are listening to Seeing Red Radio. If you're interested in any of the things that you heard, links to any of the music that you heard, by all means, go to the website at seeingredradio.org. Thanks for tuning in this week. We're going to go out with the time that we have left with the tune that wraps it all up. Phil Oakes, remembering the great folk singer Joe Hill, just like Paul Robeson. See you next week.
Here's the story of Joe Hill, who was a songwriter, came over to America from Sweden at the turn of the century, and joined the industrial workers of the world, the Wobblies, noted left-wing union of the times, and became sort of a minor left-wing hero. And then one day, he was accused of murder, and he became a major left-wing hero of the times. So. He was accused of murder in Utah. And you know where Utah's at. So he had to pay with his life back then. And here's a song about that, sort of like a folk ballad to the tune of John Hardy. The song, by the way, has been made into a movie starring Richard Burton as Joe Hill, and Elizabeth Taylor plays the industrial workers of the world.
Statue of Liberty waved him by.
as Joe come a sailing through Joe Hill, as Joe come a sailing through. Oh, his clothes were coarse and his hopes were high as he headed for the promised land. And it took a few weeks on the out of work streets before he began to understand. Before he began to understand. Then Joe got hired by Bowery Bar, sweeping up the saloon. As his rag would sail o'er the barroom rail, sounded like he whistled on a tune. You could almost hear him whistling on a tune. And Joe rolled on from job to job, from the docks to the railroad line. And no matter how hungry the hand that wrote, in his letters he was always doing fine. In his letters he was always doing fine. Oh, the years went by like the sun going down, slowly turned the page. And when Joe looked back at the sweat upon his tracks, he had nothing to show but his age. He had nothing to show but his age. So he headed out for the California shore. There things were just as bad. So he joined the industrial workers of the world, 'cause the union was the only friend he had. The union was the only friend he had. Now the strikes were bloody and the strikes were black, as hard as they were long. In the dark of the night, Joe would stay awake and write. In the morning, he would raise them with a song. In the morning, he would raise them with a song. And he wrote his words to the tunes of the day, to be passed along the union by. And the strikes were led and the songs were spread, and Joe Hill was always on the line. Yes, Joe Hill was always on the line. City, a murder was made. There was hardly food to find. Oh, the proof was poor, but the sheriff was sure that Joe was the killer of the crime. That Joe was the killer of the crime. Joe raised his hands, but they shot him down. He had nothing but guilt to give. It's a doctor I need, and they left him to bleed, but he made it 'cause he had the will to live. Yes, he made it 'cause he had the will to live. Then the trial was held in a building of wood, and there the killer would be named. And the days weighed more than the cold copper ore, 'cause he feared that he was being framed. 'Cause he found out that he was being framed. Oh, strange are the ways of the Western law. Strange are the ways of fate. For the government crawled to the mine owner's call, and the judge was appointed by the state. Yes, the judge was appointed by the state. Oh, Utah, justice can be had, but not for a union man. And Joe was warned by some early morn, there'd be one less singer in the land. There'd be one less singer in the land. Now William Spry was Governor Spry, and life was his to hold. On the last appeal fell a governor's tear. May the Lord have mercy on your soul. May the Lord have mercy on your soul. Even President Wilson held up the day, but even he would fail. For nobody heard the soul-searching words of the soul in the Salt Lake City jail. Of the soul in the Salt Lake City jail. For 36 years he lived out his days, and he more than played his part. For the songs that he made, he was carefully paid, with a rifle bullet buried in his heart. With a rifle bullet buried in his heart. Yes, they lined Joe Hill up against the wall, blindfold over his eyes. It's the life of the rebel that he chose to live. It's the death of the rebel that he died. It's the death of the rebel that he died. In his time in the cell, he wrote to his friends. His wishes all were plain. My body can't be found on the Utah ground, so they laid him on a fast parting train. Yes, they laid him on a fast parting train. And the rebel rode to Chicago town. There were 30,000 people to mourn. And just about the time that Jolie died, legend was just being born. A legend was just being born. Now some say Joe was guilty as charged, some say he wasn't even there. And I guess nobody will ever know, 'cause the court records all disappeared. 'Cause the court records all disappeared. Say wherever you go in this fair, every Union Hall, in the dusty dark, these words are marked. In between all the cracks on the wall, in between all the cracks on the wall. It's the very last lines that Joe Hill wrote when he knew that his days were through. Boys, this is my last and final. Good luck to all of you. Good luck to all of you.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Seeing Red Radio.
Your enemy is ruling your country.
And war is what they got.
If you tell us to make the world safe for democracy, we will take you seriously, and by God and by Christ, we will make it so.
There's been a class war waged in America for 30 years now, from the top down, and the rich have won.
Seeing Red.
I do not believe that a few people should control the wealth of any land, that it should be a collective ownership.
Radio with a revolutionary socialist perspective.
Seeing Red.
The menace to our lives does not lie on the other side of a no-man's land set apart without our consent. It lies within our own boundaries here.
We will wage the war that has to be won.
Featuring headlines from the front lines of the international class war.
We must be prepared to match actions with words.
Seeing Red Radio brings you the news that the corporate news media actively suppresses.
Give us the slogans. We'll turn them into realities. Sing the battle hymns, and we'll take them up where you left off.
By seeking out every creative method of protest possible.
We feature the latest from the struggle of working class people to achieve what they rightly deserve from the international ruling class that steals from them each and every day.
Help, 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 I've been robbed, help, I've been
That's
robbed.
That's Seeing Red Radio.
I've been robbed by the capitalist system. Come
Available on. Every Thursday from 8 until 9 p.m. right here at Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP. Northampton.
Struggle must go on until the workers of the world organize as a class, take possession of the earth and the machinery of production, and abolish the wage system.